about 6 members already with an apology from Ms. Mamarehani.
Okay, good. Let's get not good, but fine. She apologized. Let's get started. Welcome, everybody. So apart from the one apology you got, we've got none other. Sorry, I've been meeting after meeting and had to quickly go to the chemist. And now you don't know about my life right now, my personal issues, but here I am. I was here at 2:58. Let's get going. Firstly, apart from that, noting of apologies and welcoming you, just to say very quickly, this matter of meetings between the NA and NCOP committees is being addressed by the higher offices of Parliament, both houses, and I thought I'll just give you a brief overview of where things are. There are very different interpretations about what happened at last week, Wednesday's, was it Chief of Forum, and then on Thursday at the, I think it was a programming committee, but the matter is being addressed by the Speaker and NCOP chairperson's office. As I understand it, there seems to be a lot of confusion. I will try to explain to them in a meeting tomorrow that we do not, although we can, as I understand it, and as has been the case since 1996 at least, although we do not deal with a bill entirely with the NA committee, what we do is the briefings, as you know, which is a no decision-making structure. All you do is you get a sense of what their bill is and not the bill that we currently have if it's been changed. And secondly, we go to the hearings and we ask questions, but no decision is made. And as soon as that's over, then we part ways, as it were, as we've done with this bill. Now, one of the advisors has suggested that if it's a problem, all one can do, the briefings is nobody sees that as an issue, and I think it's a good idea, and it's part of the oversight and accountability model, I'm told, of this new five-year term. It's there. But when it comes to the hearings, which I think I have mentioned to both Alan and Nicoleco previously, instead of saying it's a joint meeting, which it isn't, because we have our own hearings, as we will, in a week or so, Nicoleco advertised for hearings. Have you advertised for the hearings on this bill, as adopted by the NA now? Nicoleco, are you there?
Yes, Chair. Yes, Chair.
You've advertised.
And out right? Today.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
Okay, no problem. Now, what he suggested, one of the lawyers, is that we put Standing Committee on Finance hearings with the presence of, so we can ask questions and so on. But look, what I want to urge all parties in this committee, we are not above the rules of Parliament, nor what the Constitution provides, nor what the rules, what the norm has been. So if Parliament wants to change its system that we've operated, certainly I'm familiar with it since 1998, and it started in 1996 with the NCOP. I'm cool about it, as I've said. I don't have any vested interest. We must do what the rules require and what the law says. So I would urge members here not to badger the chairperson and use our – I'll send a note that our chat group is not for political issues or policy issues. They are merely for administrative purposes. I think maybe in Nkululeko now we should draft a set of rules. So sending us inaccurate media statements which don't reflect what happened there is really unnecessary. If you want to talk about each other's family lives, people are free to do that. Of course, some people lose, regrettably, especially in these times, members of their family. So it's the human aspect and the administrative process. It's handled by Nkululeko, but maybe we should get a set of rules. But as far as this is concerned, please, any member of any party who's taken this up legally or I don't know what people do, go to court, please leave me out of it. It must be addressed by the House chairs, the NCOP chairperson on our side, and the NA speaker and the House chairs there, especially the two House chairs. What do they call? House chairs for committees, oversight. Okay, good. So leave us out of the committee. Whatever the law says, whatever the rule says, we will do. There's no discussion here. It's a statement of the reality of how a committee operating in, of all places, Parliament should operate. Having said that, can I now move on and welcome National Treasury? Treasury, are you here? In Nkululeko, help us. Who's here? Who's taking us through the bill?
I just got a call from Yanga. She's having a problem with connection, but I see Franz Tomasek is here. And that's the only person I see from their side.
It represents SARS. The bill is a treasury bill. So who is supposed to be here? Who from treasury? How many people? Normally it's more than one.
Unfortunately, Chair, Cindy did not send me names, and I don't even see her on the platform as yet.
All right, somebody seems to be coming in. Who's that?
Chris.
Chris, are you ready? Chris, are you ready?
Yes, hi, Chair. Sorry, a moment is finishing up another meeting. Younger's having connectivity issues. I think France is with us. So we should have the other members on here shortly, the other colleagues.
Can you get going on behalf of Treasury?
Yes, all right, fine.
Before you do, let me just explain to members where we are. We have the advantage, as I see it, of attending the briefings and the hearings. So we have some sense, and others, of what the original bill that came from Treasury contained. Now, what would help us is for you, Chris, to tell us where the National Assembly Committee, because I'm unaware, I didn't keep up, obviously, with what happened after the hearing. Tell us where the National Treasury, the National Assembly Committee changed the bill. And, you know, perhaps you can tell us why. Then, secondly, when it came to the hearings, we heard colleagues, again, it's I think, a considerable amount, what everybody said. And we should keep in mind that we are not obliged, colleagues and comrades, to agree with the National Assembly Committee in respect of their responses to the submissions of the public hearing. So we can say, for example, let's say BUSA or COSATU or some NGO or some accountants association said, well, this is, we think clause 4.1b should be amended. The fact that the NA committee hasn't done it, never mind that it's a 75 bill, doesn't mean we shouldn't agree with it. Then we can always put it in our report to Parliament and propose amendments. Although, remember, colleagues, comrades, if it's a 75 bill, they're not obliged to actually take what we have proposed as amendments into account. Okay, right, that's clear. Over to you, Chris. Take us through the bill as it is now and then explain to us what changes were made. Are you connected, Chris? Do you hear me? Oh, dear. In Kulileko, can you help? Am I being heard?
Chris, do you want me to share presentation on my side?
Do what? Sorry, put it on the slide. I think. Yes, do that. That's all we find useful. But what's happened to Chris? I can see movement, so there's some vision. But no audio from his side. No movement. His eyes flicker and so on and move, but his mouth seems to be stationary.
Hi, Jefferson.
Yes?
I also see, I see Chris, but he's not speaking, he's not talking.
Yes, you can see him moving. Afternoon. Yeah, he's moving. I don't think he can hear us. Okay, Franz Tomasek, are you there? Crackling sound there. In Kulileko?
Hi, Joe.
You might intervene when you can't hear me, okay? Because I'm also having some problems, okay? So maybe it's just me who can't hear the speakers, in which case you intervene. Just to facilitate, so we don't waste time and say, Chair, you know, it's you that's the problem, not the person at the other end speaking.
Okay, Chair. Okay.
All right, so let's go to France. France, can you hear us and can you fully participate?
I think Chris is there.
Well, then you must speak. Okay, go for it.
I don't know why you hear me.
You are breaking, Chris?
Can you hear me?
I'm afraid not. Okay, over to you, Franz. Can you get going, please, man? We are already at 11 minutes past 3. Chris, when you're back, you let us know. France, are you there?
I hope so, Chair.
Go for it. We can hear you. Can you explain to us, do you remember what the... Well, you've got a text before you, presumably. You both meet, presumably. You both share information, presumably. So you can for now, although it's, you know, in the circumstances. Any committee member have any problem with before they take us to court, France? Let me just check. Because I shut off. I've got a lot of work to do and come back in half an hour in Kuleleko. But I can't hear you there. I've got work to do. So is any committee member going to...
Can you hear me now?
Sorry. Are you back, Chris? Chris, are you back?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, go.
Can you hear me? France, you want to try?
Chris, can't you move around in your house? Are you connected to Wi-Fi? Not that I know much about these things, but they say go to your closest possible to your, what's called router in Kuleleko? Oh, dear. Can we just try you, France?
Yes,
you've been here. Yeah. France? Mr. Thomas, yeah, go for it, right.
Okay,
can you put the slide presentation on the screen in Kuleleko?
I'm trying that, Chair. It's giving me problems.
Maybe it's a nationwide thing, eh?
Chair, I suspect load shedding may well have an impact. I know that.
Of course, yeah. All right, but we can hear you. Are other members connected to us? Can they quickly say hi so we know what's going on?
I'm connected, Jadu.
Yeah, good. Maletane?
I am, Chair, although load shedding, I'm struggling a little bit with the network, too.
But you're very clear so far. There's Willie.
Yeah,
good, okay. Willie?
I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me, Eunice?
Yes, we can hear you. Turn over to who's next? People, you know who you are. Yeah, there's Fani there. Fani?
Honorable Karim, I just want to mention the load shedding will kick in at 4 o'clock on this side, might be off and on again.
Yeah, have you got no 4G, colleagues? Because, am I right, in Kuleleko, usually the masts operate if the Wi-Fi is gone. Am I right, in Kuleleko?
Some of them, Chair, the ones that do not require electricity, that have a battery, can work, but some can't.
Yeah, because I have found in meetings that I go automatically into 4G, so at least I'm fine with that, but good. Okay, who's next? I don't think there's anybody else here, is there? Let me just look at the participants.
I see on the group, Honorable Ryder is also struggling.
Dennis Ryder, are you here? Oh, there
he's
is.
I see the group.
All right, well, we can continue. If need be, it's not anybody's fault. We can have another briefing. I don't know how we're going to manage this because presumably load shedding is here for the next 10 days or so, I gather from the media. All right, go for it, France. If people are unhappy, if they can't capture it on YouTube, don't these meetings go onto YouTube? Do they, all of them go onto YouTube in Kuleleko?
Not all of them, Chair, but we have media people here with us.
That's not going to help us. You see, what I thought is members who couldn't connect with us today, they could link up via YouTube and see the meeting instead of calling another meeting, you know, a week from now. We might have the same problem. But, I mean, this morning in the house, there were thousands of us there and we had no problem, eh? All right. Well, the load shedding started at 12. Let's go for it, France. I really think there's too much time regrettably being lost. It's 3:15 now. France?
Thank you, Chair. I believe Yanga has managed to join and she may be able to start.
Yanga, where are you, my friend? Yanga? Oh, dear. I'm working over hard here in Kuleleko.
I can imagine, Chair.
I'm stressed out. Hey, there's a message here from Dicky Lady saying IT must be his contact. I don't know how she's going to chair tomorrow's meeting. Jado, you got to get ready to chair tomorrow, eh? Right, I ain't chairing. I'm too old now. Listen, please, man. Franz, go for it now, please. Who's the chair, Yanga or me? It's 3:16 now. Let's go.
Right. If we
can see the presentation.
Yeah, I can see it. Can others see the presentation? It's in a blood red here, SACP red. I mean, Treasury is not good for them to be seen in that color, but there you are. It's their decision, right. Go for it, France. There it is, the first slide.
Great. Thank you, Chair. Really, this is in the nature of a recap of the process process that has unfolded so far. Just to give remind everyone that this is a set of proposals that has a fairly long history behind it already. And essentially it started back in March when the president announced a set of interventions that he would be proposing. The Minister of Finance expanded on it later in that month. And on the 1st of April, the first round of draft legislation was put out for public comment. Now, after that round of public comment, we also came in and briefed both the standing and select committees on the tax measures. And on that same day, a set of revisions were also announced to the initial set of proposals, of which we expanded on to the committees just to give them an immediate heads up as to what the situation was and what was coming. And then on the 1st of May, of National Treasury and SARS published the revised versions of the draft bills for public comment. And so that then again went out for public comment. And I think let's move to the next slide then, please. All right. So then on the 19th of May, there were some additional aspects to the money bill part of the proposals that needed to be made clear as quickly as possible so that people could look at it for their payrolls. So a second revised money bill was published, along with notices on expanding access to living annuity funds. And then that proceeded, and on the 14th of June, the minister formally tabled the bills. 14th of July, there was the formal briefing to both the standing and select committees, and on the 22nd of July, the committees had their own public hearings to get public comment on the bills, and then shortly thereafter, National Treasury and SARS presented a set of draft responses to. On the 19th, the Standing Committee considered the proposed changes that the Minister of Finance had put on the table following those public hearings and some of the feedback that had been received from the committees during the course of the hearings. And last week, the National Assembly voted to adopt the bills with the changes proposed by the Standing Committee. And that brings us to where we are today. And the next slide. So that, at a very high level, is what we are looking at in the bills. Key aspect of the money bill is the expansion of the employment tax incentive. And that was in a couple of different areas. One very important one is generally the employment tax incentive is limited to younger employees. The bills open that up all the way through to age 65. So the only criteria that then applies is the remuneration that the employee receives.
Please let me in.
Lower income. All right, so there was also then a set of monetary increases in the employment tax incentive for the purposes of the disaster management tax relief bill. There's also a set of streamlined provisions for disaster relief organizations. There's a skills development levy holiday, and donations to the Solidarity Fund enjoy an additional 10% deductibility. So currently, donations to PBOs are limited to 10%. Donations to the Solidarity Fund are an additional 10%. On the admin bill side of things, the important issues here, there's a definition of qualifying taxpayer. That's important because it targets the relief at small and medium-sized businesses. Those small and medium-sized businesses are able to defer part of their employees' tax liability, their provisional tax, and if you're a micro business, your interim payments, which are similar to provisional tax, may also be 35% of those may also be deferred. matching the change in the money bill with respect to the solidarity fund. There is the ability to take that into account for employees' tax purposes. If you are currently a VAT registered vendor who only puts a return in every 2 months and it turns out that you have a refund due and you'd like to get it a bit quicker, the ability to do that was introduced. And then there's certain tax time periods that are extended for the period of the initial hard lockdown. And that gives you the overall background to the two bills. If we can go to the next slide then, please. And if Yanga is able to take the slide, Yanga, are you able to do that?
Okay, thank you, Franz. Thank you. That's what is nice when you have different institutions joining Parliament, because our Treasury IT was pretty much the moment for the meeting.
Welcome, Yanga. We heard you had problems. In fact, Chris, your colleague, you might not know, is also having problems. But go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. After the bill was tabled, there were proposed changes to the bill, and we proposed those changes in terms of the Money Bills Related Amendments Act. So the proposed changes to the bill are as follows. The streamlined tax dispensation for COVID-19 relief funds, we extended that for 2 months. Therefore, it will cease to apply on 30 September 2020 instead of 31 July 2020. So that was the only proposed changes we made in terms of the money bill. Franz will continue the proposed changes in terms of the admin bill. Thank you, Chair.
Great. And so that takes us to the next slide. And this turns on the employees' tax liability that employers have. Now, the initial proposal was to allow them to defer 35% of the employees' tax. If they're small, medium-sized businesses that are tax compliant, they could defer that and then repay it over a six-month period. And it was a four-month period that they could defer 35% for. That was April through to July. The change that was made in the Standing Committee was to extend that to conclude at the 31st of August, so that the period for which you may make deferrals now runs from the 1st of April through to the 31st of August, which then logically means that repayments only start in October and run through until March 2021. So that keeps the relief within this fiscal year, so it does not have a serious impact on the fiscal framework, but it does give employers an additional month's worth of deferral that they can enjoy. And I think that is the end. Yes. Thank you, Chair. I'll hand.
Sorry, I'm going back to Yanga. Are you done? Hello?
Chair, I think that's...
Okay, we are done, Chair. I think because the response document, it was a joint presentation and everything. So we are done with the proposed changes after the bill, after the response document.
All right. Before we go on, can I get some clarity, please? Just to help the committee, okay? Now, what of these amendments came from the committee itself and what came from yourselves as Treasury? Yanga?
The amendments were during the public hearings. During the public hearings, we were requested some of the extensions, and these are the extensions that we agreed to based on the response document check. Thank you.
But presumably, the committee agreed to them, right?
Yes, Chair. The letter, the minister wrote the letter to the committee, and the committee considered
that. That process. All right, I understand. And secondly, did the committee propose its own amendments? Apart from what came from the submission, from the public?
I think my colleagues can come in here. I think Mr. George had proposed amendments regarding the retirement, the withdrawal from the retirement. Also another amendment by Mr. Lewis regarding expatriates.
All right, I'll have a look at the bill carefully. I'm not sure that I follow you right now. But, okay, over to members now. Questions, comments, contributions, or whatever thought. Dick Lady, are you back now? Are you connected at least?
Dick Lady? I just got in chat. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Okay, good. Let's move on. Okay, comments from members? Dennis, are you in?
Hello, Chair.
Is Dennis in?
Jadu.
Oh, Jadu, go for it.
No, Chair, I just want a point in terms of the way forward. What is the way forward from this meeting?
And well,
Chair Senior.
Yeah, okay. Next questions, comments? That's a question put to us as a committee more than to the Treasury. Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, please. Sorry. Chairperson Dennis, can you hear me?
Yes, Dennis, you can go.
Wait, I'll take
it.
Thanks, Chair. Sorry, I just hear Momo. Yeah, there we go. Good. Chairperson, thanks very much. Sorry, my connection is also not great, and I've got it on the phone with an auxiliary power backup. So just a quick question. There was some issues around the excise duties payable on the production of alcohol, which was obviously deferred as a result of the first hard lockdown. The issue is that there was a second shutdown on alcohol sales, and obviously that would have again, you know, caused problems with the on the production side, where they just reopened their production and then had to stop again. So is there any intention to extend the postponement of the payment of the excise duties on the alcohol production? That's question one. Question two relates to the fact that, you know, a lot of businesses are still not operational. Some are slowly coming on board now. And the issue is that if there are to be further extensions in time allowed to taxpayers in order to defer their obligations rather than cancel them, but do those need to be done by an amendment to the bill, or by that stage I presume it'll be an act, or can they be done through regulations? Thank you, Chair.
All right. Anybody else? Comments? Questions? No. Oh, dear. Well, we might even finish before we know it, before everybody's even connected. I see Momo, you're in. Is that right?
Apollo,
are you connected, Momo?
It's raining.
Yes, I'm connected.
All right. Okay, welcome. Look, very quickly. Why don't the team from Treasury respond to Dennis Ryder while other members mull over what they want to ask? And then the issue of process in Jadu, I'll respond to that. Okay, go for it, whoever from Treasury.
Yanga, why don't you start?
I was going to start with the proposed amendment, but there's the question on excise duty, because I think that SARS has already done something on excise duties. I was going to say any further amendments, Mr. Ryder, those amendments can be done only in terms of the bill, because we are amending an act. They are not going to be done by regulations, other amendments. The amendments that can be done in terms of the rules, it was the customs one. Hence, I'm saying SARS can respond when the customs respond. Thank you.
France?
All right. So with respect to the alcohol, what happened there was there is a deferral that was done by rule. The commissioner is in a position to adjust the payment dates. And there was a 90-day deferral for the payments that would be due in August and September. So that was to take account of the second lockdown and to assist in that regard. With respect to other deferrals, just remember what the bills provide for are essentially automatic deferrals for tax-compliant small and medium-sized businesses. If you're a small and medium-sized business who needs more deferral than the bills offer you, or you're a large business that finds yourself in a position that you need deferral, the option to approach SARS in terms of the normal provisions of the Tax Administration Act or the Customs and Excise Act apply, and you're able to make that application. So you move from an automatic system to a facts and circumstances test to look at what your particular facts and circumstances are and whether a deferral is warranted. Now, that would continue to be available after the period has expired here, and people would still be able to make those applications if they found themselves in difficulty because of the pandemic.
Do you want to add anything, Momo? Hello, Momo. You want to add anything?
Yes, Chair. Look, Chair, I think, you know, what we did, as we said in the SCOF, is that obviously we're watching COVID. Now, at some point, sure, these tax changes will lock in for some of them. And sorry, I missed the start, but when we do, and some we are doing through the TLAB process, and we are considering a second round. But in a sense, you know, with we're now down to level 2 lockdown, and yes, there may be a further surge, a second and third round. We're going to then just have to legislate at the time to the extent that we current pieces of legislation don't deal with it. And let me say, Chair, those will be fundamental decisions because, you know, it will change or lead to possibly bigger losses on the tax side than even the 300 billion plus that we're thinking about or that we're projecting on. So, yeah, look, nothing's going to... I mean, we can't come here and say, look, we've covered for every possibility. You know, it's just not possible. But, yes, we've tried to cover as much as possible through these changes, which we don't anticipate really need to be done much longer at this stage. And certainly with this possibility of a second round of TLAB measures, we think that should cover a lot of the big issues that we raised. But, I mean, you know, just as COVID is uncertain and you don't know what's going to happen in the second or third wave, if it happens and when it happens, I think we are quite clear this is the best we can offer at this stage and that there is some flexibility like Francis outlined on some of the measures. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, any other comments, contributions? No? Well, let me come back on this one, right? So firstly, France and Treasury, more importantly, just as a matter of interest, based on what Dennis Ryder raised, there are circumstances surely in which within the ambit or purview or whatever the word is, parameters of a clause or a section of a bill, a minister and or after consultation of SARS can in fact regulate for some, have some latitude in certain circumstances to regulate. Is that so, or is it never the case that a minister can regulate something within the provisions of what's actually in an act? First point. Second point, I think, Momo, look, I can't speak for everybody, but I would imagine the majority of us here are very empathetic. I mean, this COVID-19 is stunningly unpredictable. The world's greatest scientists are floundering and fumbling. So, you know, we understand that. So you're saying that this is the best you can do. That's debatable, Momo, as you know. But is it as completely unpredictable as you're saying? I think that one can agree with. Now, in respect of the Treasury's, the SARS coffers, I think the minister himself or the DG or yourself or somebody said in the media from within the public sphere, so here in government, it's likely that in fact our loss will be more than the 310 billion projected, right? Which seems, I'm not an expert, but seems credible, right? But experts are also saying the figure of 310 billion loss is an underestimate. So I think you may be right, you know, that it's going to be more than that, but let's hope it's not. That's just an observation. So, in fact, mostly to you, Momo, observations. To you, Momo, also to you and Younger and France, are there circumstances in which you can regulate certain changes within the purview of the law or ambit? I don't know what the word is. I think you know what I mean. Okay. Can somebody respond?
from Treasury first, and then Franz might want to add, given his considerable experience.
Yeah. So, Chair, I'll ask Yanga and Franz to come in. But as the way the system obviously works, there's some measures, like some of the excise measures can be done by Gazette, but mainly, most measures, ultimately we need to legislate. And bear in mind that our legislation for often when it's related to a tax year, it's for the entire year. That's why the laws do allow us to get some measures to be implemented before they're actually formally legislated or enacted. But we're still doing it at risk that if the legislature ultimately rejects that, then we'll have to recover those funds or make the opposite adjustment in the remaining months of the year. Obviously, as we get later and later to February, say for the personal income tax year, then things get harder because then it's for the year and you may need hard legislation. But let Yanga and Franz come in. Although Yanga is the only lawyer amongst us.
Okay, Yanga.
I think Momo can get lawyer by working at Treasury. A mathematician can get lawyer. Yes, what Momo is saying is very much correct. All the measures, most of them are legislated. I say almost all of them, except for the customs and excise, those that are done by the rules. Hence, I was saying Franz can elaborate on the customs and excise.
Franz? All right, so that
is true. The customs and excise are done by way of regulation or notice in the Gazette. There is one point to bear in mind there, though, is that customs typically is not a revenue-raising instrument. Customs is a trade instrument, and that is why those changes are generally triggered by request from the International Trade Administration Commission, routed via the Department of Trade, Industry, and Competition. So they're not revenue-raising instruments. So that's an important point to bear in mind. The second point to bear in mind is that those changes that are notified by the minister are ratified annually by Parliament. And we have had the situation in the past where, in fact, someone who was impacted by one of the changes proceeded to interdict the minister from tabling the ratification of that particular change. It was a very interesting court battle. Ultimately, it was decided that that was the incorrect approach to follow. The reason I mention it, though, is just to illustrate that even though the minister or the deputy minister, depending on the delegations, has made the change by way of notice in the Gazette, it ultimately does have to come to Parliament to be ratified.
Yeah, correct. I thought that, but, you know, it's when Dennis raised the question, I was trying to work out in what circumstances you can, in fact, you know, act. I know the customs and excise thing. Yeah, okay. No, I like this, that, you know, you just can't do what you, as the executive, you want to do. But because ministers have, comrades, colleagues, often use their right to regulate, to go beyond what the law allows. And for those of you who weren't here in the first and second terms, what we found was, let's say a DDG or a DG, I think Momo knew I'm referring to, particularly one very sharp, bright, struggle activist DDG in a certain department, where they would lose out with our committee at the time on clauses in the bill, then they would try to introduce it, if you like, through the back door, through regulation. So he's a very good guy, very decent guy, very honest guy, but very driven. So, you know, we then, in the following bill, made it compulsory. I think we're the first committee to do that. That regulations for these six or seven chapters have to be submitted to Parliament for Parliament's approval before the minister can implement them. But of course, the lawyers said, "What if you guys don't meet?" So we said, "No, 30 working days. Within 30, if we don't, it's considered that we've approved." And then the then speaker, please, Jinwala, raised it in a meeting of all chairs. And subsequently, I think, well, the ANC caucus too. Because the chairs were primarily ANC then, although we had NNP chairs and IFP chairs. But look, don't allow ministers to just regulate as they want, because this is what they do. But that has stopped, actually, largely. And Treasury has got these people breathing down their neck, right? So if they do anything, Momo's house gets accosted with even accountants and bookkeepers and the banks toy-toying outside it. So he's careful to avoid that. But what I want to say, though, is that as far as the process is concerned, Comrade Njadu and others, it's a normal process. We have the bill before us now. They've taken us through it very swiftly, and there's not many contributions from ourselves. I think we all want to read the bill properly. If I'm right in Kulileko, you've advertised for hearings today. It's a 75 bill, colleagues. So the willingness of stakeholders to make submissions is very dim. And very few want to speak to us again. You remember only once last year. Was it two people last year with two agencies who spoke to us? Others just submit their same submission, usually, Momo, they submit to the NA, which is their right, because I mean, we'll agree what the NA has done. But it's unlikely that we'll get a splurge of submissions. It might help, Momo and Yanga, if you can explain. Finally, through your negotiations and the concessions you've made, this public stakeholders, were they reasonably satisfied with the bill as it is? Now, Momo, don't tell us that nobody ever wants to pay tax, right? I knew that before I became chair of this committee, okay? So I think Oscar Wilde first said something about what you show off, debt and taxes. That's right, colleagues. So we understand all that, but it helps us to feel better about a bill if stakeholders on all sides are reasonably okay with what's there. So who's going to answer that question? It's going to be Yanga or Momo. Were the stakeholders reasonably okay with it?
Yeah, Chair, I think for these COVID bills, I think, and I'll get Yanga in France and Chris just to correct me. But these are like, there's limited issues and generally people were welcoming of it. I think the issue was that people then came with additional measures, which are either not covered in these bills and maybe covered, as I said, in the T-Lab or the second round. But, I don't think anyone objected to any clause vigorously because it would hit them. Because generally, these are all positive for particular
yeah.
textbooks. It may be negative for the country from a revenue perspective. Generally, we don't get people coming from that macro perspective. But I don't know, Yanga, if you want to come in.
Yanga, do you want to add anything, Franz? Yanga first.
I think, as Mama has said, that there were more proposals regarding measures that were not included in the bill. And when we issued our media statement on the 31st of July, we had a section regarding measures that are not included in the bills and how are we going to proceed with those. And as Mama has said, that we still need to analyze them based on their financial impact and all that, and no decision has been taken as yet. Thank you, Chair. That is on the media statement that was issued on the 31st of July. Thank you, sir.
Okay. France, anything?
Nothing to add, Chair.
Chris, are you here now? With the capacity?
Yes, can you hear me, Chair?
Yeah.
Nothing from us.
All right, good. So we're done. So basically, Comrade Njadu and others, we're going to do what we do with the bill. So if I'm correct, in Kulileko, you've advertised today for 7 or 8 days, right, for people to make submissions, written submissions, and if they want to make oral submissions, they can apply. There's no obligation, as you know. Let's not cover that ground. Anybody got an issue, please deal with the lawyers. I don't have time to deal with law and rules. it's not my area. I just abide by them, whether you want to accept that or not. So if anybody's got issues with that, please deal with the legal services. You know, as far as I know, we as NCOP are not obliged to have oral hearings. We look at the merits of each case and then decide. But usually, we very rarely say no to something. Very rarely. Well, I can't think since 1998 when we said no, except when we have too many. Like, you know, when you had the green and white paper and look at 300 people applied and so on. So the court has already pronounced on that and flanked the submission for the committee previously. We'll give you that. So, you know, this is where I have to negotiate with the DA and Freedom Front. What I did speak to Nkululeko Lefko about was that next week we have no choice. We have to participate fully in the interprovincial discussions next week. Parliament, the NCOP, unfortunately, up till today, hasn't finalized the program for this quarter. But the informal information I got yesterday was that it's likely we will rise next Friday, as we usually do, 1 week after the NA goes on recess, we do, as the NTOP. So it's likely to be the same. So the original program, which Nkululeko still has, and he's puzzled by, because he says we must abide by that, it's going to be reviewed in the next 48 hours. So once we know, Nkululeko will send you a notice. So let's presume that my information is correct, or the decision will stay, as I've suggested it might. Then it means that, you know, I would prefer that we finish this bill from our side, though unfortunately there won't be a sitting of the House until we come back. So Treasury is beyond our control. Parliament has been tinkering, both houses, with when and, you know, when we should be in recess and constituency and when we should be in Parliament. So it's beyond our control, Treasury, because obviously we would want to pass it shortly after the public hearings. So the first thing to say, colleagues, maybe we just do it now quickly so it helps us. Is it okay that we meet after the sittings? Now, some sittings I saw in Nkululeko finish around 4 o'clock or something. We can meet from 4 to hear or receive the written submissions, which Esther and Sean will translate, will summarize. And meet next week after the House sits. Is that okay? Anybody got a problem with that?
Chair,
Njadu, you may let's Njadu to help because he's in the programming committee. He might know more.
We're consulting with you. Consulting with the whips tomorrow morning. So the proposal may be that the NTOP may go on constituency from the 18th of September until 9 October. But it's going to be confirmed by the consultation tomorrow morning.
All right. So what is happening now, I see in Jadu, though we can't get involved, this is beyond our control, is that each time where previously we sat 1 week, well, the NTOP sat 1 week more than the NA, now it's happening that we are sitting in the NCOP 2 and 3 weeks more. And I hope now we're not going to then meet 2 or 3 weeks after the NA meets and so on. But hey, you know, this is beyond our control. So at this stage, we don't know. So let's take it that we will meet next week, if possible, after hours, unless there's an objection from any party. I don't think it's going to be a long meeting. Look at this one. It's not even 1 hour. So I think you wanted to say something, Dennis?
Chair, thank you very much. Yeah, look, I would support a meeting after normal hours. I'd be more than happy with that. The issue is that this bill is there to help people. So, yeah, let's try and get it through as quickly as we possibly can in as best a format that we can. So, you know, speed without giving up on quality. But yeah, if we can ask the Honourable Programming Whip to perhaps put a little bit of pressure and see if they can slot this item into a plenary session before the end of the term, If we are going to sit for an extra week, that would be an excellent opportunity.
No, I agree. If we're sitting for an extra week, and Jadu, let's talk offline. If we're sitting for an extra week, most certainly, we don't have, I'll just send a note to Jomo and Mr. Nyambi and Jadu. That will certainly happen. But as I was told in Jadu yesterday, it's likely to be next Friday, but you know more. So let's see where things go. So yes, Dennis, there's no need to even raise that, but it's good you did. So what we could do then is to have the hearings. In Kulileko, you got the hearings notice up till 12 o'clock on Tuesday, right?
Yes, Chair.
All right. So I can't imagine a flood of submissions. So we could meet tentatively Wednesday afternoon after the House arises and look at the submissions and then go through the bill a day or so later, clause by clause, or even the same day, depending on the number of submissions, the quality of the submissions, the extent of the amendments they're proposing. So only when we see the submissions on Tuesday afternoon will we know whether we need two more sittings or one more. And I think that whatever the situation is, whether we're sitting for an extra week, in which we will definitely have plenary, the only reason, Dennis, they will have another week, I presume, is because there are some bills that have to be passed, because that's what I was told, but then they realized that it's not so urgent bills, and there aren't enough, was what I was told. But hey, I don't know. This discussion goes back to last week, Wednesday, when Nkululeko phoned me in Jadu. I'm sorry, out of touch. And yesterday I was told, yes, it will finish next Friday, probably, but we'll know tomorrow. So let's not speculate. It's agreed. We'll meet next week at the very least once, possibly twice. Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks, Treasury. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.